Hello and welcome to Storytime Revolution. Thanks for joining me. My name is Jared McCurran, and you are joining me today for my daily devotions. I have very much fallen off the wagon as of recent. It's been months since I've been even doing these devotions. Here more recently, in the past month or so, I've been taking time to just read a few chapters in the Bible. Excuse me, but I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, for this is the path that God has called me to. He says this is my job, is to read. And to read out loud so that others can partake in the scriptures. And I think there is something very powerful about reading out loud. So we're going to read A Daily Light for these devotions. This is the first one, and then it'll be My Utmost for His Highest. And then we'll finish off with the New King James Version, the Oswald Chambers Study Bible. So Daily Light, September 15th. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. My brethren, you who have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God, being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I'm going to pause here for a minute and pray. Yahweh, Great Father, King, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, God, Adonai, you are great and glorious. You are the Mighty One. You are above all, and all is through you and by you. And we submit ourselves to you, and we allow you in after you called us, that we could be one with you through belief in your Son who died, so that we could enter in relationship with you. I thank you for this. I thank you for this day. I thank you for our lives. I thank you for this wonderful earth that you've given us, and for the fact that we can live without sin if we follow you diligently, faithfully, and resist our flesh and seek after you. I would ask that you guide me throughout these readings, and that you only have me speak what it is that you have me, that you want me to speak, that I hear, Holy Spirit, and that I only say what he would have me to say. So I'd like to give a brief commentary on this, about being not under the law, being made free from the law of sin and death. So the Torah is very, very important, but it's also very condemning. Now, if you'd like to live underneath the Torah, you're pretty much already condemned because it's impossible. But Christ died to free you from that condemnation and give you perfect righteousness now. But understand that the Holy Spirit is going to bring you through his way so that you will follow the Torah. And all you got to do is trust and obey and listen to Holy Spirit and do what he says. And if you walk the path every day, don't fall back into sin again. You resist whatever sin's in your life. You turn away from it and you run. And if there are temptations around you, remove those temptations. If you know you have a certain sin, and if you go around a certain thing, it causes you to sin, then you flee from that thing and remove it from your life, whether it be a person or your own eyeball. Don't cut your eyeball out, but that's how serious it is. Do not let sin entangle you. Run from it. And if you do that, man, what a joyous life you shall have. Let's go into my utmost for his highest and see what Oswald Chamber. Now, his wife, and I forget her name, wonderful woman. I read a book that she wrote that detailed his life, and it was just absolutely remarkable here recently. And I am thankful that she took the time to compile this so that we could have it. I've read through this multiple times. It's this book right here. I don't know if it was this exact book. It may be. But it was a... it helped my mother come back from suicidal depression just reading Oswald Chambers every day. Like, it's a very powerful book. He was very in tune with Holy Spirit. So we have September 15th. What to renounce? But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Well, that's a very out of context verse. We've only got a short portion of it, but he's going to explain what it means. That's 2 Corinthians 4:2. So, have you renounced the hidden things of dishonesty? The things that your sense of honor will not allow to come to the light. You can easily hide them. Is there a thought in your heart about anyone which you would not like to be dragged into the light? Well, that's a troubling thought, isn't it? Renounce it as soon as it springs up. Renounce the whole thing until there is no hidden things of dishonesty or craftiness about you. Envy, jealousy, strife. These things arise not necessarily from the disposition of sin, but from the makeup of your body, which was used for this kind of things in days gone by. So you might have envy, jealousy, strife, or some kind of hatred against someone. And he's saying that it's not because you're sinning right now, because that's just who you were, and you're still being made new by the Holy Spirit. But when these things come up, you must recognize them as being improper and capture them and say, no, that's wrong. I will not think of that or think that way. And don't do it anymore. So maintain a continual watchfulness so that nothing of which you would be ashamed arises in your life. Not walking in craftiness, that is, resorting to what will carry your point. So that not that is resorting to what will carry your point. This is a great snare. You know that God will only let you work in one way, then be careful never to catch people the other way. God's blight will be upon you if you do. Others are doing things which to you would be walking in craftiness, but it may not be so with them. God has given you another standpoint. Never blunt the sense of your utmost for his highest. For you to do a certain thing would mean the incoming of craftiness for an end other than the highest, and the blunting of the motive God has given you. Many have gone back because they are afraid of looking at things from God's standpoint. The great crisis comes spiritually when a man has to emerge a bit farther on than the creed he has accepted. Man, he manages to fit a whole lot of information in very little words. It's quite impressive. That's a God-given gift, man. So let's go. God has given you another standpoint. So just because God told you not to do something, and he'll tell you not to do this, and he'll tell you not to do that on your pathway of moving through sin and coming into freedom, something that has bound you up. And he's like, no, it's time for that thing that's bound you up to be done with. I'm going to free you from that. Do you accept the mission? Essentially, are you going to repent of this and not do it anymore? Because that's what's next. And you can say no, and keep holding on to it, and you'll be stuck right there with that sin until you repent, which means to stop doing it. But someone else may be dealing with a different sin entirely, and so you might think that because you're dealing with this, that everyone else is also dealing with it, this, but that is so far beyond the truth that it's just wrong. Absolutely wrong. Everyone's dealing with their own sin in their own time, and you don't worry about them. If you see something that you think is a problem, well, you can pray for them. The Holy Spirit convicts them, but he's going to do it in his own time and in his own way. And don't you sit there and judge them unless what they're doing is harming you directly or harming someone that you know who's talked to you about it. And then you can go to them and talk to them about it. But the first thing you ought to do is pray for them. And it can be very easy to start walking down that road and just turn right around because you don't want to deal with what's next. So be careful. Be of courage. Don't be a coward. Our Father doesn't like cowards. Go forward in strength, knowing that he's got you, no matter what it is. He's got you. He's going to take care of it. Okay, so we're a bit behind in my utmost devotional Bible, Oswald Chambers' devotional Bible. I'm not even certain what reading we should be on. I was not prepared for this properly. I just figured I'd get the books out and start reading them. So that's kind of problematic. Okay, well, I feel like I need to study the Sermon on the Mount, and I've been reading from the Amplified Bible, so I guess I'm gonna sort out that one later and figure out what actual day I'm on, because I haven't counted all the days to this day, and I'm not gonna do it right now and take your time up. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read the Sermon on the Mount. This is like two and a half chapters, Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. So two chapters. The Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went upon, remember this is the Amplified. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired, are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant. It's very much pointing to being humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. Now, I've talked to my wife about this Amplified translation, and I'm not sure that, because it has parentheses after blessed, and each parentheses after blessed, it says it's something different than the previous parentheses, and this is written in poem form, and it's a repeating phrasing with a few different words changed, starting with blessed. And the Hebrew word for blessed here just means to be happy, essentially, to have joy. And so I can't say that I fully agree with how the Amplified has translated this, but I have issues with lots of translations. But I'm going to read it the way it is and just know that this is just how they translated it, and whether it's correct or not, well, you can ask Holy Spirit about that, and he can guide you along those pathways. So, disclaimer, I guess. Sorry for continually interrupting. All right, Verse 5, blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Blessed, content, sheltered by God's promises, are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature, are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God. Blessed, spiritually calm, with life, joy, and God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express His character and be called the sons of God. Blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love, are those who are persecuted for doing that which is morally right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, morally courageous and spiritually alive with life, joy, and God's goodness, are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of your association with me. Be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward is in heaven, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely inexhaustible, for in this same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I'm going to interrupt again at the end of that first section of the Beatitudes. I don't even know how to say that word. I apologize. Remember, I've said this before, I think, maybe not, but this is practice for me. I'm working to make a profession out of the gift God gave me, which is my voice, as far as I can tell. That's been, I think, revealed to me, and he's told me that this is going to be my job. But I don't feel like that I am good enough to record for other people professionally. That's like to get paid for this. That's pretty crazy right now for me. I haven't been doing this that long. I love it and I enjoy it. I've always loved reading and I find that I quite enjoy reading out loud. Started with my children. I never read out loud until I had children and read out loud to them. I read a lot before that, but not out loud. And I guess I started to enjoy it more and more as I saw the good in it. So I'm going to stumble over words. I'm going to mispronounce things. I'm not good at speaking. Generally wasn't, like, I've grown a lot in this, but like I was not very good at this. I'm dyslexic and all sorts of things, and I've had to work very hard to move through those and slow down and be very careful and all sorts of stuff. That being said, I don't edit this because I don't have time to edit this, because I have to work a full-time job after I'm done doing this, and so I just, it is what it is, and bear with me. I'll get better. So, 5:13, we're transitioning into the sections about the disciples and the world. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, its purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery." Excuse me. "You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to do away with or undo the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of the pen will pass from the law until all things which it foreshadows are accomplished. So whoever breaks one of the least important of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least important in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches and practices them, he will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness, uprightness, and moral essence is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice against him shall be guilty before the court. And whoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly to his brother Raka, you empty-headed idiot, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. And whoever says you fool shall be in danger of the fiery hell. So if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and while there you remember that your brother has something, such as a grievance or legitimate complaint against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go. First, make peace with your brother, and then come and present your offering. Come to terms quickly, at the earliest opportunity, with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way to court, so that your opponent does not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you are thrown into prison. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who so much as looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble and leads you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble and leads you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has also been said, whoever divorces his wife is to give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except on grounds of sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who has been divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord as a religious duty. But I say to you, do not make an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you are not able to make a single hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Affirm yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, punishment that fits the offense. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person who insults you or violates your rights. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other toward him also. Simply ignore insignificant insults or trivial losses and do not bother to retaliate. Maintain your dignity, your self-respect, your poise. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let them have your coat also, for the Lord repays the offender. And whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, your fellow man, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love, that is, unselfishly seek the higher or better good for your enemies. The best good, the best or higher good for your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may show yourself to be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on those who are evil and on those who are good, and makes the rain fall on the righteous, those who are morally upright, and the unrighteous, the unrepentant, those who oppose him. For if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, wishing them God's blessings and peace, what more than others are you doing? Do not even Gentiles who do not know the Lord do that? You therefore will be perfect, growing into spiritual maturity, both in mind and character, actively integrating godly values into your daily life, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, I'm just going to read chapter 5. I'm going to do chapter 6 tomorrow, and then chapter 7. And God willing, and may he make it so, I am consistent and continue doing this, so I actually do what I just said I was going to do. Because, well, I got to wake up really early to do this, and I don't find that easy at all. So that ends daily devotions. I'm going to try and keep this under 30 minutes. It seems like a good length. I don't really know. Maybe keep it around 30 minutes. Maybe I shouldn't be worried about it too much, and I should read what I'm supposed to read, whatever he tells me to read. Either way, it'll be what it's going to be as it comes into what it's supposed to be. I'm just going to keep working at it and let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. But I will say that I want you to be perfect as our Father is perfect. And I pray that for you. Not that you can be perfect right now, this very second, but as you come into spiritual maturity and become complete, well, that's when, as far as I can tell, being perfect means that every day you're working towards whatever he has you working towards. If you're pursuing him and doing what he tells you to do, working towards completeness, not that you're complete right now, but that you're working towards completeness, pursuing it, running the race, then that makes you perfect, complete, because you're working towards completeness. It's like he's so just easy on us. He takes care of us. Like, it's not like he's not so demanding. It's like he knows we're just messed up people, and he doesn't want to torment us with burdens that we're unable to attain to. So you pursue him, you chase after him every day, and that makes you perfect right now. That's a beautiful thing. You thought you couldn't be perfect, did you? But all you got to do is run the race, stay on the way, do what Holy Spirit tells you to do today, and you're perfect. That's amazing. God bless you. May his will be done in your life. May his light shine upon you. May all good things come your way. May you be blessed and prosperous as you pursue him. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, by his blood and all the wonderful things that he's done for us. Man, God is so good. Thanks for listening. Tune back in, and hopefully I keep doing this. So pray for me that I keep doing this. Pray that I am consistent and diligent and that I improve. God bless you. Shalom.